Welcome to the Sixers Mania Podcast. I'm your host, Will Coffrin. Joining me is Justin Maltz for this special trade deadline edition that we do every year. Some deadlines are more than others, but still very interesting stuff on the Sixers front. So, Maltz, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right. It was definitely special, put it that way. It was an interesting trade deadline, and we'll get into it. Yeah.
It's not getting James Harden, but it's definitely more than getting like George Hill. So,
yeah, it's definitely some upgrades, some questionable moves, in my opinion. But we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Which we'll all get to now, because we're not going to spend a long time on this. And feel free to skip ahead. I would say maybe 10 minutes, honestly, if you don't want to hear it. But we are going to. We haven't talked about the Embiid injury nor the recent games. So what we're briefly, I mean, they kind of go together. But the Sixers are fucking depressing without Embiid. Now, granted, some of those guys are now gone. So once again, we're not going to spend a lot of time on those games, just general gist. Like, the one difference when they had Harden, and I still hate Harden, I still think he sucks, I don't care, in the playoffs, I still think he's a losing player, I don't care that the Clippers are the top seed, or I think they're the fourth seed now, because the West is so tight up top. The one advantage of having Harden is that they were able to survive these games without Embiid a little bit more, because Harden, he did make Paul Reed better, who looks quite a bit worse this year, I would say. The backup bigs just aren't very good, but it's not about the backup bigs. They were just a very Embiid-centric team. In some ways, I think this team was great, one of the best built around Embiid because it catered to his strengths. However, when Embiid's not there, they look like a bunch of chickens with their head cut off, essentially, is I guess the way I'd put it. What would you say?
Yeah, I agree. Obviously, the team was built perfectly around Joel, and I mean, you look at their past five games, they have won one game, and then that game Maxey had 51 points. That's their only win.
And they're still banged up besides the point, too. Like, it's worth noting, not a lot of Batum recently. Melton hasn't played in like a month. And
I don't know where my boy D-Melt's at. I thought it'd be a minor injury, but he's been out a little longer than I expected. But at this point, it's not like, I mean, of course, it helps to get him back. But yeah, they don't look great with that. No. And that kind of shows you the impact. And we knew it. But to really see it play out in real time without Joel and him be so obviously injured and out for at least a month, whatever it is. I mean, it's depressing, like you said. And they need more from Tobias, which we say every single year, and obviously we're past the trade deadline at this point. He's here. He's a Sixer for the rest of the season. Obviously, Maxey's playing with as hard as he can, and he's a great player.
And even he's been banged up for these games. Like, he's been questionable right before and during the Warriors game. It looked like he got a bit banged up on that one shot.
And Paul Reed's been allegedly playing with an illness, which, I mean, he's
been out Well, that's what I'm saying. And Tobias playing with an illness. Yeah. You know, like, moral of the story, against the Warriors, which the only highlight was probably his defense, and I hate him. I'm glad he's gone. Jaden Springer, I don't hate him personally, just as a player, which we'll get to. Jaden Springer was probably the highlight of locking up Steph Curry. Other than that, like, KJ Martin played 29 minutes. Springer played 23. Both those guys are borderline rotation players. And, you know, again, in a real game, they're playing heavy minutes. So that just kind of speaks to what...
Yeah, I mean, it's not... Agreed. It's not some mystery. I mean, they're just simply not talented enough. That's it. When you're missing your best player and one of the best players, if not the best in the league, and you take him off the team, obviously you're worse. But now you're really seeing the drop off in talent. It's basically Maxey and then but a bunch of role players. I mean, that's not going to win in today's league. It doesn't win. It just doesn't cut it.
I will say other minor bright spots, and granted, they always come in and go every time. Ricky Council, his jump shot looks a lot better. I can't believe I'm talking about Ricky Council before some of the trades happened, but whatever. It's worth noting since we're talking about the games. And Turk's just been on fire. Turk, Wavion Smith, of course, who we're talking about, lights out shooter. Granted, some of the misses look bad, but the makes look really good. Like, I don't know, it's kind of strange, but not much to say there, but he's been pretty lights out towards the end of the games. The Maxey 51 points was pretty special. And Tobias had a nice night in there as well. So credit to him. But Dan House was playing minutes and he's now gone. Like, literally, guys have gotten waived by other teams today that were playing big minutes for us. That just speaks how bad they were.
Yeah, I mean, that game went to overtime, and I mean, to see it where, you know, obviously Maxey has to have a career night, Tobias has to put up amazing numbers for them to squeak by the Jazz is obviously concerning, and it's something that, of course, we'll talk about when, hey, I mean, you're at least a month, right, if not more, without the best player in the world, in my opinion. So
And let's get right into that. So Embiid, of course, he underwent a procedure for the torn meniscus. It's the same meniscus he tore his rookie year, I believe. He was obviously out for the season after he tore that in around January. So it doesn't sound very promising, to be honest. However, that team was also out of it, so you have to wonder if they treated things differently. I also think when he had the knee injury, his quote-unquote rookie year, it was his rookie year. I'm just putting that, not his, like, when he was actually playing. That year, I believe he waited to get the procedure done, and it might have been a different procedure. Who knows? Meniscuses are really tough. There's not a lot of blood flow that goes to that, so it doesn't heal on its own. So you kind of have to get that. You kind of have to either get it repaired, you have to rehab it, or you just have to clip it out. And it looks like the reporting's been really vague. It looks like there's been some repair. I'm pretty pessimistic on his return, but their trade deadline moves did not. It kind of indicated what we all thought is we're not sure if he's going to be out for the year. Because obviously they didn't go really all in, but it looks like they did put a little bit of an effort in. So I would say it's they don't know, just like us, we don't know, they don't know. I wouldn't say it appears. I would give it like a 50-50 shot we see him again this year, to be honest. I don't know what you we're not experts and we're not plugged in, but I don't know what you think.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a little more just from the fans' perspective, a little more optimistic that he will make a return, as long as it also depends where the Sixers are, obviously in the seeding. You know, when you look at that,
I just don't think they can fall anywhere below a 10 seed, and they need to be a 10 seed to make the play-in.
Yeah, which I don't think they will be that bad. Hopefully, I mean, obviously the recent performances tell me otherwise, but I think they'll still be at least the top 6 or 7 in that range. Hopefully,
they have some tough games coming up though.
They do. They have a tough schedule. It's not easy. I think they'll string together hopefully a few wins here and there, but it's not easy. I mean, you're going to have big time performances by guys like Maxey and Tobias, and hopefully Melton comes back and the rest, and Buddy Hield stepping up now, which we'll get into. But to go back to Embiid, I mean, yeah, it definitely hurts that he's out. I think he will make a return, hopefully right before the playoffs, a week or two before, maybe get some regular season reps in, just at least to get the body back to speed. I mean, that's the ideal timeline as he comes back. What is it, late March, early April, and then, hey, you got 2 weeks, kind of get your body right. Okay, here's round one, let's go. And that's the vision. And, you know, he's still going to be at 85%, maybe 90. He's not going to be 100 just coming back from injury regardless. Because, yes, even if you recover or, you know, rehab it, there's still that recovery process and getting back to game speed, which is a different animal, as we know.
Yeah, and optimistic take, if he comes back, you know, with a couple games left in the regular season, then the odds that he gets injured in the playoffs like he has the previous couple years seem like they'd be lower. But who knows? I'm not a doctor.
And we just don't know that. And we just don't know, like, he's not gonna be playing at 100%. It's not the Joel Embiid. Most likely, I'd be absolutely shocked if he comes back. I mean, guys don't just pick up MVP forms like that. No, it's gonna take a little bit of time. So you're gonna be like, oh, Joel's back, but he's dropping, you know, 20 points on inefficient shooting instead of 30, whatever it is. So who knows?
Yeah,
it's not great.
It's not great, but there's no reason to be completely out, especially because, I said, I don't think their moves gave a total indication. However, they did trade. I do think they improved the team, which we're going to get to right now, essentially. Yeah. But they also didn't invest a whole lot, but they still invested a little bit. Like, Buddy Hield's expiring. And yes, I guess they retain his rights if they want to bring him back for next year, which is probably where, well, anyway, we'll get in the trade and first. So, all right. They traded Marcus Morris, Furkan Korkmaz, and it was 3 second round picks, right? Sorry.
Yep. Three.
Yeah, 3 second round picks. However, they also traded a second round pick within Dan House, and they got back 2 second round picks from other things. So, in aggregate, we lost 2 second round picks for everything on the day. So, I wouldn't get too held up. And it also looks like some of those second rounders are better than the ones we gave up. Anyway. So, in a vacuum, just the Buddy Hield trade, getting Furk wasn't really a rotation player. Marcus Morris, I always was kind of saying before, I thought they should trade him simply because I thought Covington was better. And who knows if Covington comes back? That's a different thing. And it seems like Morris, Nurse, for whatever reason, didn't really like Covington. And he did like Morris. He played him at the 5 too much. So, it was kind of like, get him out of here so that as much. And I did like Marcus Morris, to be clear. Get him out of here because Nick Nurse is too in love with him. So I think that's actually like a win in of itself. As much as I like Nick Nurse, he likes Morris a little too much for my taste. I'll get your take, but I thought it was a great trade. So, and we'll get into it why a little bit more, but what are your thoughts
initially? Yeah, I mean, initially, I like the trade. Just straight up, I like the trade. I'm a fan of the trade. I did like a lot Marcus Morris. I think he was a solid fit, kind of a stretch four, which we definitely could use. And I had some great moments here, obviously, from Philadelphia and that whole thing. But yeah,
the city, and now he's gone.
Yeah, keep the city, and then bye-bye. But I do enjoy, and I think I'm happy to have Buddy Hield here, at least on the team, where he can kind of be that catch-and-shoot guy that we've really needed for such a long time, ever since J.J. Redick left. Yeah, yeah.
Because he's
really
even better than Seth Curry, for people that are unaware. He's definitely a lot closer to J.J. in terms of volume. I screenshot their two numbers. J.J.'s with the Sixers and Buddy Hield's this year. And they're per 100 possessions, they're essentially putting up like the same amount of threes. I think Buddy actually shoots a little bit more, if I recall. I'll pull that
up.
Yeah,
I mean, shooting, was it 6.9 attempts per game, almost seven threes per game.
In lower minutes than he was used to getting because he was getting benched. So the 6.9 threes, while it is down, yeah, it's about the same for like his rate at which he's shooting it is roughly the same.
Yeah,
but yes, per 100 possessions, Buddy Hield was shooting more threes than J.J. Redick was with the
season. I mean, he's playing 25 minutes a game, at least for the Pacers. I think he'll get an increase here for at least, well, Embiid's at absolutely, but even when he comes back, I mean, this is going to be a guy that could borderline start some games. I don't know if he will be a starter.
I don't think you can start him and Maxey together, to be honest.
Agreed. I think with a shorthanded lineup, possibly some games, depending on injuries.
They'll play together, but you want to split them up as much as you can.
Yeah, I still love Melton.
Horrific.
Yeah, correct. I mean, but to have a catch and shoot guy, I think the trade was a big pickup here. Once again, not a league altering move or a team altering move, but definitely a guy that fills a need that we said, hey, we need a sharpshooter. And Daryl Morey went out and made a trade for a sharpshooter. That's exactly what he did. And hopefully he can hit some shots. We had guys before that knew how to shoot and then disappeared. So hopefully that's not the case.
Yeah. I mentioned his defense, and Redick still held up on times. And obviously a lot of things get glossed over from having Embiid there. I think Hield's a better defender. It's not much better, to be honest, but it is better. He does get to loose balls a little bit more. I mentioned those per 100 possession numbers. Redick was getting 0.6 steals and 0.3 blocks. Buddy Hield's getting 1.5 steals and 1.1 blocks. Once again, those are per 100 possessions, so that shows how little both of them get it. But nonetheless, Hield gets it a little bit more. Free throws, JJ was a much better free throw shooter, shooting roughly like per 100 possessions, 5.1 compared to 1.2. Threes, though, as I mentioned before, Buddy Hield shoots 12.5 threes per 100 possessions. JJ shoots 12, and it's 38% compared to 39.7%. 39.7 is JJ Redick. So a little bit lower, a little more volume, a little less percentage. So anyway, go on.
No, I'm excited to have him. I think, like you said, we need a volume shooter. We said it for years and seasons, ever since Redick has left.
Because Curry wasn't high volume shooter. Really. He was
off the dribble, and he was a nice addition. It was a guy that could still, of course, shoot well, and we needed that. But, I mean, to have a guy, Buddy Hield, catch and shoot off of, play off of Maxey, and of course, when Embiid comes back, perfect fit. They can run that high, pick and roll or pick and pop, whatever it is. It's perfect. So I love it. It's a great fit.
I still think JJ back then was a little bit better than Hield is now, but I think it's pretty close, to be honest. So, great move, especially just fit-wise with Embiid, assuming Embiid comes back. I mean, what I would say for the Sixers as a whole, and we'll talk about the other trades in just a second, but Buddy Hield is obviously the headliner. Of course, only giving up 2 second round picks. They didn't punt on this year. They still wanted this year. However, they didn't mortgage anything for the future. They actually even cleared cap space and ducked the luxury tax and the repeater tax, which is important in terms of the future outlook for this team and how much they're going to spend, especially this upcoming offseason and on buyouts. So they did those things, and they didn't punt on the season. They only gave up two second round picks in aggregate. And you get Hield, who is a definite upgrade. Like, I think the team's better today than it was yesterday. I know people are mad about one trade, and we'll get to that, of course. But in aggregate, I think the squad's better. I'll get to your thoughts as we go. But wrapping things up on Hield, he offers, I think, a little bit more playmaking than JJ did, and we also desperately needed playmaking in a guard. I don't think he offers a ton, to be clear, but in 2022 for the Pacers, he was averaging 4.8 assists a game, which is pretty good. The turnovers were not great. I'm just saying he's physically capable at times. It's kind of the same thing with Melton. We have a guy who's capable at times, but not whatever. I think they'll be addressed on the buyout market, but the team needed to fix the three-point shooting problem. They brought in someone else as well that will help do that, assuming he cracks the rotation. But Hield is one of the best ways you can solve it. And it's funny because I tried before the deadline talking about all these guys And I don't think we ever mentioned Buddy Hield. I thought it was, and I want your take on this, it was curious that the Pacers are trading with us considering like they may have to play us in the playoffs. So I don't know, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, no, it is. I mean, hey, we traded with the Celtics, which we'll get into, which is interesting.
And the Bucks.
I mean,
we traded with three of them. I think, but ours was the most major deal. I think Buddy Hield's the biggest name that was moved, right? Like,
yes,
like of those trades. Like, and the Pacers are probably the most fraudulent, so maybe that's why. But still, it's a curious.
Yeah, I think they understand. Hey, if we can get some value back and whatever it might be,
yeah,
or
because he is expiring
and this and that,
because
they're still exactly, and he's expiring, and they're building towards. I mean, I think the Pacers understand their timeline, which we go back to is super important. I mean, that's part of the reason the Sixers make those deals because of Embiid and his timeline, and you know why I think we let Springer kind of not walk, but we'll get into that. Whatever.
Yeah.
So a lot of it is timeline, but I think to trade with the Pacers, I understand their thought process and like, hey, we're a good team. We certainly can put up a nice fight. Are we contenders? No, but we're close. We're probably pieces away.
And,
so.
And even then, they rerouted Marcus Morris and that second round pick to the Spurs. And Morris is going to get bought out. He can't sign with us, unfortunately, because I wouldn't mind having him on a buyout, but just how it works. They rerouted that for Doug McDermott. So they essentially gained a second round pick for a guy they weren't going to retain and got Doug McDermott, who also shoots a shitload of three. So I think they
look at it.
What was that?
Smart move by them. Good move by them.
Yeah, I think so, especially because you're not going to retain Buddy Hield. You still get a lot of Buddy Hield, and it is funny, but you could argue the Sixers should have went for McDermott instead, but that playmaking, ball handling that Hield provides, just a small amount, not a ton, to be clear. A lot more than Doug McDermott, and we needed that because we needed some creation, which Hield provides. Doug McDermott doesn't provide much creation, but he is an elite shooter. And I think he holds up a little bit better in the playoffs, in my mind. So he's been a rumored Sixer for like 4 years, so glad to finally get him on the roster, to be honest. So I don't know. Yep. That pretty much wraps it up on Buddy, I guess. Unless, do you have any other thoughts on that?
No, excited to have him. Hopefully he is a great pickup for us. I'm excited to have him. Absolutely. Yep.
All right, we'll stay in Sixers land for now. We're going to go on the rest of the league as we go on. However, the second trade, and we're going chronologically, the second trade was the Dan House trade, which is just, and we'll talk about how that impact, and it's very minor, so we won't spend too much time. We got a second round pick that's never going to convey. It's top 55 protected, so we essentially did it for cap reasons. We just traded Daniel House for essentially nothing. Reason they do that in basketball, especially because it doesn't really create cap space, it was able to deduct the repeater tax, and I think it resets us 3 years. The repeater tax is pretty tough, and the new CBA is pretty tough on those teams that are continuously spending a lot of money. So I don't want to say it's a smart move, because honestly, if the owners were just not being cheap, then they could do it. However, I realize the reality of things, and owners aren't going to just be cool on losing money. Not that I don't know the exact finances. I don't know if they're really losing money or not, but I know it's going to make them more willing to spend in the future. I know we don't have that much future, but even the future, if they continue to deduct the tax this year, they pretty much are good to go to spend for the rest of Embiid's prime. If you call this a prime, I mean, he's putting up his best numbers, but he will be 30 coming off of meniscus injury. So however that may be. So I don't know, like, are you fine with them ducking the luxury tax? And I guess,
House does not hurt. It's one of those guys where like you get Rocco back, you kind of forget House is even though he was here. Like it is what it is. It's one of those things where like you said, I mean, it's a lot about the future too. I mean, you can't just go all in one season and screw your entire future over. I mean, that's what they look at when they're making trades. Like you said, I mean, that was the main reason for this. And I think come summertime, we're going to have a shitload of money to spend. And there's gonna be a big name here. Absolutely. There's going to be a name here. So we'll see who that is, but
yeah, hopefully. But that is so that was a really minor trade. Dan House never really stuck here. He was kind of, once again, just boys with Harden, and not a great move by Daryl to bring him on. But it's and we also, I should mention, that we did a lot of salary cutting, because we also cut salaries by acquiring Hield, who made less money than those two. I also believe we get a trade exception that expires in the summer, I believe, that we can use. Or maybe it's next year. I'm not sure, but we can use those in trade. So the flexibility we have is actually even more, even though we gave up some picks.
We have a lot of cap this summer.
The only person on the roster next year is Embiid and Paul Reed. I think Paul Reed is not guaranteed unless we make it past the second round, because Danny Ainge structured it weirdly. But I'm pretty sure Paul Reed will be back. So I think
they'll extend Maxey and
Maxey will obviously. But he's just going to be making a lot more money.
So correct.
We will see how that goes. All right. Next one, this is probably, all right, I'll let you mostly talk about that, and I'll get my take. But I think this is our biggest disagreement, and the one that annoys the most people. And I will admit, as a non-Patrick Beverley guy, this one, at first, it bothered me. I got over it very quickly. I don't know if it was necessary, though, so I see the reasoning. Anyway, we traded Patrick Beverley, who, of course, wasn't expiring. He was a minimum player, and he was a guy that couldn't shoot on a team that desperately needs shooting. Not to bury the lead of what I think. We acquired Campaign, and we acquired a 2027 second-round pick. I'll get your take, whatever.
Well, okay. I understand the trade with taking the emotions out of it. I do understand the trade after looking at stats, not like I'm watching Campaign, you know, highlights constantly, but one of those things where, yes, like he is a very good shooter. He's shooting close to 40% from three this season. So yeah, he's a very good three shooter and exactly what we need. A guy that can handle and shoot is what we need off the bench. And as much as I love Pat Bev, I understand the trade. It does hurt. I think chemistry, and I've said it before, is a big thing. It really does matter in the NBA. It just matters. I mean, there's five guys on the court. It matters more than most. I mean, we've seen Sixers make blockbuster trades every year at the deadline. And like, well, they only played together 5 times or 10 times. It takes time to play together. Obviously Campaign's going to be a backup. So it's one of those things where like, he's not going to have significant minutes and really change the course of the Sixers, but still it's a good guy to have. I think it hurts to lose Pat Bev in some capacity. Yes, he's not a scorer, but defensively, I feel like in playoff series, that would be a guy that really provides that motor, that engine, that spark, which sometimes goes under the radar. And it definitely is going to hurt. And hey, we traded him to another contender and a team that we're, of course, competing against in the Bucks. So we might see him in the playoffs. And that's a guy that I not that to say he's going to, you know, dominate us, but it's a guy I don't want to see in the playoffs. He's annoying. And
I hope to see him in the playoffs simply because that means we're still in the playoffs in the second round.
Well, that's true. That's a good point.
Or the first round. But
that's a good point. That's fair. But outside of that, it's just, I'm going to miss Pat Bev. I'm going to miss him.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say.
Okay. I actually agree with you. So I was, we have on this podcast, I came around a little bit. I was definitely anti-Pat Bev to start. There's recordings. He really grew on me. I really like the guy. I thought I actually agree with what you said. He's kind of like if Udonis Haslem actually played for us, except he wasn't there quite as long. So like he's not as much of a leader. But I would say honestly, in terms of Embiid, outside of Embiid, yeah, he was maybe the and honestly, even including Embiid, I think Embiid gets it just because he's a better player. But he really kind of was like the leader of this team, which is ridiculous to say and kind of crazy that they traded him when you say it like that. Nonetheless, on the court, he just didn't make a lot of sense at all. And when he's an expiring player, like he was either going to walk. I think we would have retained him. I'm not sure if we're going to retain. Like, I actually think we can sign him this offseason. I don't know how hurt he is that he's going to Milwaukee. But honestly, we put him to a contender. I don't think we're putting him in the worst destination. I think there should be mutual interest this summer in him potentially in a potential reunion. But we get ahead of ourselves talking about that. He was a great guy, just couldn't shoot though. And Campaign, he is shooting 39.7%, 2.8 threes a game. 2.8 is not a lot, but he only plays 15 minutes a game. So that's a pretty good amount. We have serious issues with shooting. Buddy Hield solves that. This helps that too. We just had issues with creation. Like we have Melton. We don't need that defensive mind at point guard. Also, we're probably getting Kyle Lowry, who I think is better than Patrick Beverley, and I didn't think the two of them made sense on the same team. So I know you didn't mention the Lowry aspect, so do you have any thoughts on that? Because quick, since I'm...
On the Lowry plan?
Yeah, because I think Lowry's better than Patrick Beverley. Even though he's washed, I actually think he's more useful.
I agree with that. I would like Kyle Lowry on this team. I think he'd be a nice fit. He replaces obviously what Pat Bev had, and if not better.
Marcus Morris had in being from here.
Yeah, he has the Philly aspect, of course. Nova guy, so you get the local. Yeah, no, yeah. I do like it. I would love Kyle Lowry on the team. I think he'd be a solid fit here, and we'll play some valuable minutes. Once again, another dude that I feel like in a playoff series, he would number one, he's been there, he's won it, he's a champion, and he's proven. So like you have that does matter in the playoffs when you have that experience, and that's a guy that I think they should look after and hopefully acquire. I mean, I know the expectation is that they do, right? They're leaning that way, so who knows?
Yeah, I think the fact that Woj was even tweeting out like the Sixers and Kyle Lowry, like looking at them during the trade deadline, indicates like, and I don't know, like, Kyle Lowry's not reporting to Charlotte and he hasn't been traded, so he's gonna get bought out. Like, there's no reason for what are they gonna do? But like, hold on to him out of spite? Where are they?
Now the player gets to choose that, right? when they get bought out, correct?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, you can choose where you you can choose everything there. So I don't know. Well, I mean, unless like he really cares about them. I don't know. He still would get money elsewhere. So I don't really know why he wouldn't do a buyout. But I believe Kyle Lowry wants to play meaningful basketball. So I think he will be here. There's a definite need for him now, especially next game, by the way. I know we haven't really talked about the immediate future, but I don't know who the fuck we play next, but Maxey's going to be our only active player pretty much.
I'll be at the game tomorrow in person. I'm excited.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Uh-huh, I'll be there.
Hawk Sixers. So get ready to see some Ricky Council and Turquavion Smith is all I got to say.
It's going to be great.
Yeah, because I assume these guys aren't all reporting right away. But campaign, he was really good for the Suns a few years ago. Honestly, he's probably put – I don't think he or Beverly has had much meaningful basketball in a while, but campaign has had it more recently, and he's 29, not 30, in his like mid-30s. So, like take emotion out of it. Campaign is arguably a better player. We got it second for him as well, and we're probably going to replace what Pat Brev brought to the court, at least. Maybe not off the court, but people still seem to like Lowry. Might replace Pat Bev with a better player. So, I, honestly, as mad as I was about it at like the instant and whole, because I wasn't expecting Patrick Beverley to get traded. I don't think anyone really was.
No.
As mad as I was, I think it's actually like kind of a no-brainer the more I think about it. Like, I don't really see the downside, especially considering the up and down of Embiid maybe or not being here or not. So, I don't know. Do you have any further thoughts on that before?
No, the theme of the trade line was shooting and scoring and offense, and I think they've accomplished that so far in the minimal moves that they've made. Yes.
Yeah, especially in the next trade they made, offense was really a big proponent. And you might be saying, like, next trade they made, who did they get? They didn't get anyone, but they got rid of Jaden Springer, the worst offensive player I've ever seen. Short Andre Roberson, as I have started calling him. He sucks. We got a second round pick from Boston. Little weird that we traded with Boston. And also, I guess I don't know if we meant Beverly or we mentioned it, but we traded Beverly to the Bucks, and now he's going to play 38 minutes a game for Doc Rivers because Doc Rivers refused to play anyone under the age of 27. Anyway, but yes, we got better, I think, on offense simply by getting rid of Jaden Springer. He is terrible. He fucking sucks. It took me this long to throw out an F bomb. I do not care. I don't know what people saw in him. He has no offensive flow to his game whatsoever. He has to jump off of 2 feet. He can't do anything. He's terrible on offense. He shoots 21% from three, I'm pretty sure. He is way worse than Thybul ever was on offense, simply because Thybul you could put in the corner and he'd shoot threes. And if it weren't for Doc Rivers, he'd probably still be here because he's a better shooter than it showed under Doc. Not to get too carried away with that. Springer was horrible. He was horrible, as some people are known to saying.
Yes.
Awful. Yeah,
Your
thoughts.
To chime in here, and I want to start by just kind of reading some reactions from some Sixers Mania fans and followers.
I was actually hoping you were going to do this. So
we got a lot of DMs when the Springer move went down, and they were not happy. Dumb move. One of the people that swiped up there. Let's see another one. Excuse my language, but this is absolutely malarkey.
Malarkey
was used. So just overall, the theme was not positive whatsoever. Basically, the complete opposite of your reaction was most Sixers fans. Now,
well, I get it. No one's going to buy second round pick jersey. And Springer's cheap, and he's 21. I understand it. He sucks.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of people that think they hear the name, they see the name, and they're just like, oh, Springer, cool, young guy on the Sixers, kind of had some nice minutes, good at defense. That's about like right. And they're like, ah, good player, whatever. They just put the title out there. Oh, he's fine. But I understand it, and I get the move. And I mean, I don't know what we were with the second round pick, dude, whatever. Right?
He
I mean,
is awful. He was averaging 12 minutes a game, essentially. He's a point guard averaging 1.1 assists and 0.8 turnovers. He can't pass.
Yeah, no, I mean,
he just dribbles into the fucking defense the entire
time. Opinion, my initial thought was literally just, okay. That was my thought. I wasn't like, damn, or I wasn't like, this is great, amazing trade. It was just like, okay, got it, cool. Like, next. So I don't have a feeling towards
sucks.
It. I understand it. Obviously, like, yes. Offensively, atrocious, horrible. Defensively, I think he had some bright moments. I think he's good defender.
Then sign JP Tokido. Sign Andre Roberson. He can't play NBA basketball. He sucks. Well, like, I'm sorry. Also, you mentioned the defense. Per 36, averages 4.7 fouls. He can't stay in games. He can't even, like, he's awful.
Yeah. Well, I know. And it kind of gets, like, the short, like, when I have Matisse, because at least Matisse, I feel like, can shoot threes a little bit more.
He was 100. Yeah. He is Klay Thompson compared to Jaden Springer. I don't think people realize how bad he was at offense. He has no skill. Like what did he do well on? And also, we mentioned the defense. Do you think his defense? Because I think Matisse and Ben Simmons, of course, I don't know if I mentioned that.
Yep.
Both far and away better defensive players. They were also better offensive players.
Agreed. And absolutely.
Worked on their offense all day. So what are we doing here? I know he's 21. I get it. And yeah. He was cheap.
Yeah.
He's awful though, and you don't want to wait too long on these guys because honestly, a year from now you might not get a second round pick for Springer.
And I was gonna say as well, and that's part of it too, where like, hey, I mean, look at back to the timeline thing. This isn't a place where we're not I was gonna use the Thunder, but the Thunder are kind of in like not a win now, but they're young, but they're really good. But we're not the Spurs, right? We're not the Spurs where hey, we have five years to develop and get better. No. And we have 2-3 max with Embiid and injury every
which is weird that the Celtics traded for him. But I agree with you.
Very strange, but it's more, that's the Celtics. Hey, throw him in there. He'll play 5 minutes if that. Maybe he probably won't even crack the rotation. But like, it's one of those things where, you know, I understand the move from the Sixers side of it. If good move overall, fine, whatever.
Yeah, like, I also don't think it's the Celtics second round pick. I believe it's a better second round pick. I think it was
which is fine. I mean, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I think it's the better of Chicago. I think it's this year's second round pick. It's the better of Chicago or OKC. I think it's Chicago.
Maybe that pick turns into the next Jokic, right? There's another second round.
Right. Yeah. Next Draymond.
You never know.
Just bank on getting that. But but like I think whoever we got, like I truly believe this. I think Terquavion Smith and Ricky Council are. Ricky Council's a different position, but I think they are both better players because they can hold up on one end or on the offensive end, which is and they're like whatever on defense. Jaden Springer is a train wreck on offense and good on defense. Like I'd rather give me the guys who are just mid at both.
Yeah. I mean, watching the game, and I mean, not to say I follow Springer, did during his tenure here, but it's one of those things where, hey, obviously Embiid's out, he got more minutes, and watching him play offensively, he just looked lost. He just looked lost. He looked scared out there. Like, it's like, it looks like if you put any like regular person into a game, like, what are we, not the skill, but just like, what are we doing out here? He just looked lost.
Even people talked about his bright moments against both Dallas and Golden State, because when he was getting more, or I think it might have been Brooklyn. I forget. Anyway, in any of the games, he's a minus 11, minus 5, minus 7. And I know, yes, that are playing without a beat, so obviously it stinks. But, like, he in all those games, he went 0 for 6 from 3. I don't know what there is to say about him. He's against the Warriors. 2 fouls, 1 assist, 1 turnover. I know this is
We got a second rounder for a reason. That's what he's worth, if that. So hey,
maybe I don't think he's worth a second rounder. Like I said, I think Turk and Ricky. And I'm not just saying that because they're gone. I was going to debut this take anyway. Regardless of what happened, because I can't stress how infuriating. I can't. It makes me not want to watch Sixers basketball seeing Jaden Springer on the court. And now I don't have to worry about that. So,
anyway. It's true. You do not.
All right, we're going to talk about the rest of the league after that heated rant on Jaden Springer, who I can't say, but I guess we'll just overall recap. If you had to give a letter grade, I know I'm springing this, no pun intended, this on you last second. I personally, I would go with a B. I think it was an improvement. I don't think they knocked it out of the park. I also think you look around the league, there wasn't, even though there's one team that the media is claiming knocked out of the park, but I don't know if I agree. I think it's fine. Look at the rest of the league. There wasn't insane value getting moved. There wasn't a guy that got moved where I was like, shit, I wish we had him. DeJounte Murray didn't get moved, but Bogdan Bogdanovic didn't get moved. Also, we have no idea what's going on with Embiid. So I think it's the right choice. What do you think?
Yeah, I think B+. They made good moves overall. I like the buddy. I really like the buddy he'll pick up. I really do. I think he's a fantastic fit here. Campaign, after looking at the stats and understanding the move a little bit more, like you said, wants to get another fit, and it fits the theme of, hey, we need shooting, and that's something that they needed to address, and we knew that going into the season. We knew that 30 games into the season, and now they finally made some moves for that, and I think this sets up a Kyle Lowry, like you said, kind of move here as well or pick up. So, like, overall, B+. I think they made the right moves. I know some Sixers fans are upset at the Pat Bev move and even the Springer one, and a lot we did, but if you look at it from a basketball perspective and take the emotion out and then just the general fandom from the analytics standpoint, they made the correct moves.
Yep.
They did.
Yeah. This is, you mentioned analytics too. I wanted to say this about Beverly before we get on out of here. Once again, it's not a huge move. I hope that relationship isn't severed. I know that's an issue people had with Hinkie, where he didn't really have relationships with guys outside of Embiid, which, granted, look, years later, there wasn't really a reason to. But it's one of those where Daryl, of course, worked with Hinkie for a while. He worked under him. I just think it's an interesting component that he kind of like fractured that relationship just to get a second round pick. Like, is that really worth it? I think it is worthwhile. Like, if you're critical of the Patrick Beverley trade, not you specifically, but anyone listening, I think it's a worthwhile to mention the human element of it. On court, I think it makes like 100% sense. But it is understandable. So I would say, you know, Daryl, I feel like I keep giving Daryl a pass. I know people are frustrated with him, but with the hand he's being dealt this year, injured Embiid, the years before, like Ben Simmons holding out, like he has been dealt a rough, and when he came here, Al Horford and Tobias Harris contract, like, you know, I'm it's crazy that we never moved Tobias Harris, but I don't know what you could have gotten for him at any point. So I don't know. I guess that's,
I think he made, I mean, it's a tough, yeah, hand to be dealt. I mean, it really is. And overall, I mean, I thought he made solid moves. There was, you know, obviously some blockbusters here and there throughout his tenure and so far and what he's done. But yeah, I mean, he's had to do what he's had to do. And I think setting up this summer could be big with the money that we have. I think that's the goal they're kind of playing for right now. So,
and I don't think he will come here, but I will say the Paul George name was thrown around immediately. So I don't know. That's been thrown out before, but it was also thrown out today as well. So I don't know if they have any sort of inside info or whatever, not to get them in trouble with tampering. I doubt it's going to happen. The Clippers are playing very well. Paul George is from LA. Why would he? Whatever. Anyway. Also, LeBron's out there, though. Yeah. So who knows?
Yeah.
I'm not suggesting that they should be favorites, but all you need is one of these guys. And if not, there's a couple other guys they could pivot to. Not a ton out there, but there's a lot, and they have a ton of cap space, which will be official at this point because there's no more moves to be made. It'll be interesting to see what they do with the roster spots. This is kind of an incomplete deadline because will they get Lowry? Will they get Dinwiddie? Will they get, people were looking at another big, I don't want Robin Lopez, but I don't know who else is out there. Like if they, because once again, they just freed up a roster spot. So we shall see.
Yeah. Yeah. Someone can. Yep.
So Sixer Lane, we mentioned it before. You think it's going to be Melton, Maxey, Batum, Tobias, and Embiid still starting, not Buddy Hield in for Melton like that.
I agree, but I would most likely have Maxey Mel in the backcourt, and then I'm a fan of Oubre, but I understand.
He's at a rough stretch, but I like Oubre a lot still.
I like Uber. I mean, depending, like you said, on the matchup and playoff series, I could see either starting, but both are going to get significant minutes, Uber or Batum at the three. But yeah, I like both.
And that's a solid seven, assuming Embiid's back. Like that's which is all that matters. And you only play like eight or nine guys in the playoffs, one of which will be a backup center anyway. So they still have a deep team. Morris is the only guy who was going to be in the rotation at full strength. And even then, I'm not sure how much he would be in. All they need is one more guy from what we mentioned. Could be Covington. And could be Lowry. Like,
yeah,
they got some moves to make. So I think Sixers fans should be happy as long as, if Embiid comes back, we're gold. And I don't think you can look at it and say they should have done more because look at, now who knows? Maybe if they were offering three first round picks, maybe they can get Bogdanovich and DeJounte Murray. I have no idea. But we don't know because those guys were held on. So there's not a team you can point to and say like, damn, we should have done that trade. Maybe you can do that with Terry Rozier, if anything. But that was from obviously like a couple weeks ago, maybe with OG Anunoby, but it's hard to compare the two because our package would have been laden with picks where theirs was with RJ Barrett and
correct. Yep.
And Emmanuel quickly. So who knows how they value that. So anyway, all right, let's get around to the rest of the league. I think that's going to wrap it up on Sixers Line unless you have any other further thoughts.
No, overall good day for Sixers. I think successful. Yep.
All right. I think, I guess last one, and this will get to around the league. Buddy Hield, in terms of a player, there's one player that I liked better as a trade asset that was moved today, and I'll get to him in just a second. But he's not a win now player. Buddy Hield was my favorite player, I think, moved today. And for what would be for the Sixers, too, I think he's a perfect fit. But even just in general as a player, I think he was probably the best guy moved. So I don't know how you feel. Like, there was a couple others like Royce O'Neal, PJ Washington, Gordon Hayward, whatever it may be. I think Hield is the best one that was moved. And even like Monte Morris and Xavier Tillman, like guys that were recent.
My favorite player was definitely Alec Burton. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, some people, that might be the case. And
no,
Bogdanovich is a good player. Boyan, not Bogdan. But
yeah, I will. I do like overall that, like, one of my favorite moves from the day. I like the PJ Washington to the Mavs. I think made a lot of sense there. I mean, they needed a you know, a big, and that fills a need there. I actually already disagree. Really? You disagree with that?
I thought it was too rich. They gave up a pretty lightly protected, and granted, I know they have Luka, but honestly, who knows with Luka at this point? It was a very lightly protected pick. I don't think you go around throwing picks like that for PJ Washington. I think he's a better hypothetical player.
I feel like, but yeah, okay. So Grant, I mean, sucks. It's really Grant sucks. I think Seth Curry is he wasn't even playing.
So you don't have to worry about that. They gained a rotation, but I just don't think PJ Washington, and I think I even mentioned it because I mentioned him as a Sixers trade target. Looks good on paper. In actuality, I'm not sure how good he actually is. So.
Yeah, but he, I mean, he's 25 years old, so I mean, he's not.
Oh, he's fair. Like, he's fairly. He makes a decent amount of money though. Like,
that's their timeline. Yeah.
Like, he's a 32% 3-point shooter, and he shoots low free throw percent. So it's not like he's going to get any better. He's not a super high volume 3 shooter though. He's a decent player. Don't get me wrong. He's not worthy of a first round pick in my mind.
Yeah,
I don't think that's the worst.
They're so guard heavy. Yeah, no. I mean, I like that trade. They're just so guard heavy. I think it's nice to have some quality, and then they have Derek Lively down there and some others. But
they're
a better team than they were. 100%. They improved. They absolutely improved.
It's worth the first round pick?
Yeah. Which.
Yeah. Right. So was that? Do you think that? And that's fine if you do, even though we disagree. Was that what you would say is your favorite move of the day?
Outside of just being a homer and the Sixers ones, like I like the heel one, but yeah, I mean that was one of my I enjoyed that one. I think it was a good move for the Mavs. There's a couple I could point to, but yeah, let's hear yours.
I'll go. I'm actually staying. I think Charlotte crushed this deadline, and my favorite player that I mentioned before was actually Trey Mann, who I really liked before the draft, and he's one of those guys who's been buried on that OKC bench because they are so deep, and he's been really good in limited spurts, and they got him along with a first-round pick for Gordon Hayward, who they were going to buy out. I know the Thunder, they also acquired Vasai Micic, who, even though he looked good overseas, he looks pretty terrible. He of course, was originally drafted as a Sixer and traded in the Al Horford trade, but he's been pretty bad, and he makes a decent amount of money. Bertan, same thing. But they got a draft pick, and they got Trey Mann. Like, that is a pretty elite haul in my mind for a guy that you're about to buy out. I love Trey Mann. I think they were desperate need of another guard, especially they just waived James Bouknight, who I also loved before the draft, and honestly, if I were the Sixers, so as did Killian Hayes got waived, different team. Loved both of them before the draft. Maybe I don't know what I'm talking about. However, interesting. That is all I'm going to note. All I'm going to say with the draft is I fucking crushed this one, and we didn't record it, so I'm pissed. But anyway, go on.
Yeah.
I crushed my very few takes I had, but anyway. That's for another time. I don't know. What did you think of the trade? I know you're not like studying Trey Mann tape, but what did you think of that trade? Like the Gordon Hayward, I guess, just being traded.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know he's going to be bought out, which I guess is interesting to even look at that from that perspective. But yeah, I mean, I think Hayward has he been injured recently though, or has he been playing?
No, he's been playing. I think he was injured for a brief amount, but he also just doesn't shoot threes anymore. I don't know what happened to him. Like, I remember when I was looking at, like, we talked about him as a buyout guy for the Sixers, and he is shooting 2.4 threes a game on 32 minutes. Like, what is he? I don't know.
It's a good move for the Hornets. It's a smart move for the Hornets. They got a young guy and someone that can fit their timeline as well. Definitely a smart move. And for the Thunder, it's one of those guys where, like, hey, he wasn't playing anyway, and you got, I guess, a veteran presence out there that can at least,
it's
a locker room thing. It's a locker room thing.
They won't feel that draft pick miss, and they won't feel Trey Mann leaving. But I don't think Gordon Hayward's really going to move the needle for them. I'd be disappointed if I was a Thunder fan. Not that I think they needed him. Like, I would have been pissed that we didn't top the Sixers for Buddy Hield, because I actually do think that was one of the best moves of the day. I know we said try to pick like a non-Sixers move.
Yeah.
Favorite, at least favorite. I think that was one of the better ones. Like, I don't know. There's a few guys that I feel like they could have went for instead. Like Royce O'Neal, I would have preferred, who was of course moved separately. Bojan Bogdanovic, like. There are guys that were moved that I thought they could have gotten because they are really good. And I understand they want to hold on to their future because they're a young team and they should only get better. But I don't think they're going to miss some of these picks. And to trade it for Gordon Hayward is just kind of like I don't know. They're better guys. If you're really that willing to give up a first or Trey Mann or whatever it may be, just a little disappointing is all I'd say. So I thought that was another bad move, but I don't know. Do you have any other trades you really liked?
Liked? I mean, I feel like I hit the limit here. I mean, there's a few that I can kind of like,
No, I know. There weren't that
yeah,
many trades. I just,
there's some
I
bad ones
know.
out there. I'll tell you, there's some bad ones, man.
Well, we can get to those in a second. What's, I think objectively a good trade. I think, everyone has actually kind of been the story of the deadline, and we haven't really talked about is the Alec Burks trade, who I think is terrible, which I'll get to. I think it's an overrated trade. Go over it real quick, but the Knicks, and it was crazy the reporting, because at first it looked like the Knicks got swindled, and then it was like, oh, the Knicks actually like might have won the trade, or I think everyone thinks they won the trade. But all right, so the Knicks got Alec Burks and Bojan Bogdanovic for Evan Fournier, Malachi Flynn, Quentin Grimes, Ryan Arcidiac, now 2 second-round picks and cash. All right, highlights are obviously Quentin Grimes and 2 second-round picks. None of the other guys matter. Maybe Malachi Flynn, hypo, I don't know, whatever. And they also need shooting, so like maybe Arcidiac now provides some spacing. I don't know. I don't think he's gonna play. It's really just Quentin Grimes and 2 second-round picks. Okay, I've made my feelings on Alec Burks very clear. So what are your thoughts on that trade? Because like I said, I thought it was a little overrated.
I still think the Knicks won that trade though,
I
getting
would agree,
Bogdanovich. I mean, I
especially
think
because
they
they were
won
a
the
contender and
trade.
they got better.
Yeah, they improved. I mean, the bottom line, like you can get, so we can, I mean, we can swing around second rounders left and right. We said it before. I mean, it's just, it's clear. Look at the tweets. Every you know, every trade is a second rounder somewhere. You can find one. They throw them out like they're nothing. I mean, it's just, and they're protected this and that. But at the end of the day, you have to get players. You have to get talent. And the Knicks acquired that in Bogdanovich. And I think Burks is okay, right? I've been a Burks fan. I don't
I
think
know.
he's add, but whatever. It's another rotation guy you throw in there. Like you said, he might take away some shots from some good players. But I like Burks, and Bogdanovich is a great fit. He's a great fit, and a lot of teams wanted him. So that's a great. That's just getting him alone wins you the trade. That's it.
Right. He was the one guy where I think you look around and it's like, man, the Sixers couldn't get on in on there somewhere, or any other team, like I said, the Thunder or whatever it may
I'm
be.
shocked we couldn't top that.
Right. Quentin Grimes is a nice piece in my opinion. He wanted out. It's a little unclear. I think like all right, for this year, and the Knicks are going for this year, and honestly next year, he's got a partial guarantee, Bogdanovich, if they want to continue paying him. But this year, Bogdanovich is a much better player than Quentin Grimes. I don't think it's, I said much, but maybe it's just better. He's definitively better. Grimes is a better defender in my mind, but Bogdanovich is a much better offensive player, and he's still not, he can still hold up defensively. Alec Burks, I think, is fucking garbage. However, his regular season, even though his percentages are terrible, because he is a bad basketball player and he plays on the Pistons, but his counting stats were all right, and he's a volume three shooter if you really need it. My problem with Alec Burks, as I've gone over in the past, I know I've said I made my feelings clear about him. It might sound like a hot take to have this much vitriol towards a guy, but he was on the Sixers, so that's definitely some of it. But also just watching him throughout his entire career, if Alec Burks is on the court with Jalen Brunson, I don't think Julius Randle is good, but I'll throw him in there. Julius Randle, any of these guys. Those guys will not get shots because Alec Burks is going to, if he touches the ball, he's going to shoot it. He does not pass. And he's one of the worst passers I've seen. He takes terrible shots. He's not a very efficient shooter. He sometimes gets to the line, which is nice, and he's a good 3-point shooter. However, he just plays like an absolute moron. I think he's a negative, to be honest, if you ever, but they don't need to play him necessarily. The fact that, but I would consider him half of a rotation player. In a pinch, he can maybe be a heat check guy, but they got half a rotation player in him, and they got Bogdanovich, who's an upgrade over Quentin Grimes at the price of only 2 second-round picks. Now, Grimes, I'd rather have for the future. I think he was the best asset in the trade. But the Knicks have been on fire recently, and these guys should only help. So I think it's an overrated move because Burks is terrible, and Quentin Grimes isn't that bad for the fact that they gave him up. But it was still a good move, nonetheless, I would say, for the Knicks.
Fair. It's fair. Yeah. I mean, I like it for the Knicks. Good job for them.
Yeah. All right. The Kelly Olynyk trade, I thought, is probably my least favorite trade of the day. Did you have a least favorite one, or was
Yeah,
it
I
that you're
wasn't going to
going
say
with that
just
one?
least favorite. I mean, that one's definitely up there. I was going to say the Raptors. I don't know what the Raptors are doing, period. They made a couple of trades, and I don't know what
OG
what's
trade
up.
was terrible. Siakam trade was amazing for them. And this trade was
Masai's an
awful.
idiot. Masai's an idiot.
I
It's
have
the
no
bottom
idea.
line. He's an idiot.
No, once again, because I mention it every time we talk about Masai, he didn't want Maxey for an expiring Kyle Lowry. Anyway, I'll get to this.
Stupid.
All right, so they got Kelly Olynyk and Oche Agbaji, which I think they, honestly, I don't think people realize that as much. Like if we talk about Masai, and for whatever reason, the headline was Kelly Olynyk for a first. I actually think Oche Agbaji was the guy they were targeting here. They got rid of Otto Porter, who's irrelevant. Kyra Lewis, who was a nice, like, I don't want to say nice young player. He hasn't been good so far in the league. However, he's a highly touted prospect. and he just really hasn't gotten minutes. He was on the Pelicans, didn't really get minutes there. They had a bit of a logjam. Yep. And then he gets traded to the Raptors, and they just didn't like him, so they got rid of him. And the kicker, they traded a first-round pick. Now, granted, it's a bad mm-hmm. first-round pick. It's very, I think it's like the least favorable of I don't have the exact details in front of me. It's two contenders, so it's going to be in the late 20s, maybe even 30. Anyway, but I think the Jazz got the two best players in the deal, in Kyra Lewis and the first-round pick. I have no idea what the upside of Obagi is, and what are the Raptors doing with Kelly Olynyk? I don't know. That's pretty much
it. I know. I agree. I mean, to get Olynyk, it's like, sure, he's a fine piece, but like, what's once again, back to timeline. Like, the Raptors are actively blowing it up, right? They're actively, at this point, you're trying to lose. I feel like you are. I mean, I know you got some nice young pieces, but you're not in contender mode. I don't know what they are in the East right now, but they're why are you getting a veteran guy that can provide some help?
He is Canadian.
Like, what's the point? I guess he's Canadian. That's the one benefit. But oh my God, other than that, like, what are we doing? So I don't know what Masai is thinking on at least timeline wise. It makes no sense. But yeah, good for the Jazz. Good for the Jazz.
Yeah, they also had. I thought it was funny. People were mentioning this one. They traded Dennis Schroeder for Spencer Dinwiddie and then waived Spencer Dinwiddie. People kind of mentioned how that was like the 2K auto-generated trade. Like, it was like, me my point guard that averages the same stats, and you give like your point guard that averages the same stats.
I don't get that.
I think Masai is actually.
But maybe we get your boy Dinwiddie now.
Yeah, he's been mentioned. I thought we might have mentioned it, but I don't really want Dinwiddie. Do you? I guess we'll go back.
I mean, he's kind of.
I'd much rather have Lowry.
I would also rather have Kyle Lowry than Dinwiddie.
Which is funny because Dinwiddie's closer to his prime. At one point, he was a nice player. I just think like.
I think I feel like he fell off. I mean, so did Lowry. But
they both fell off. But Lowry fell off from a much higher place, and just
correct.
I think Dinwiddie's less role player-y. Like, he's kind of just like a.
Yeah, it's like selfish.
He doesn't really hold up on the. Like, I don't know. Like, Lowry can at least be a good shooter and a good defensive player. And a smart passer, like just kind of a better version, like a better shooting version of Patrick Beverley, if you will. Dinwiddie doesn't really.
My favorite Woj tweet was the Toronto Raptors are keeping Bruce Brown. That was my favorite.
Oh, that's good to hear. There's a lot of teams that just held on to their guys. We mentioned the Hawks earlier, and granted, the Hawks I love Bogdanovich and I love Murray, so like in some ways I get holding on to them, but they also have no future, so I don't really know what they were. Like, I don't know, because they could have got something for DeJounte.
They could have got something. I mean, like,
granted, I still think they'll be able to do that in the offseason, is all.
Yeah.
But I don't know. That pretty much wraps it up on the deadline. But any other thoughts around the league? I mean, I don't think the landscape of the league this was a pretty minor trade deadline, I would say. Buddy Hield might be the biggest name move today.
Yeah, nothing major. I mean, the nothing shifted really in the East or the West, to be honest. I mean, yeah.
I mean, the Knicks got better. I would say.
The Knicks improved. They got some pieces. They're still, I think, in my opinion, at full health, and the Sixers are at full health, and the entire East at full health. I would still have them four or five behind. Maybe in five. It just depends. But yeah, it's an interesting deadline. Nothing like you said, nothing major. But the Sixers, if they can be healthy, can be a force. It all comes down to Embiid. Nothing matters if Joel's healthy.
The East, I think the Knicks made the biggest jump of any team, including the Sixers, just because they also Yeah, we don't know what the Sixers. If
I think Sixers are two, like, well, just
I think the Sixers got the best piece, but they got 1.5 rotation players compared to one, and the Sixers made, you know, like, I don't know. Correct. The Patrick Beverley first campaign thing. Plus, like, our roster still has some pretty, I want to say, glaring flaws. I thought they addressed most of them. To be honest,
it's still a work in progress. I mean, yeah, there's still the buyout market on that. So
right, and it's not great to be relying on the buyout market. So Sixers get an incomplete grade, and then I think the Celtics marginally improved. I mean, they got Springer if they want to throw him in there for defense, one possession, I guess.
Yeah, boy, Spring.
Yeah, right, but they also did get Xavier Tillman, who I kind of liked for not a lot, even though Tillman's been pretty bad this year. So I don't know. Like, I think we've seen, and the Bucks getting Beverly, I don't know if that's an improvement, but from campaign, I think it probably is a worse player, but I don't know, maybe he fits better. Also, their defense has been pretty dog shit, so I actually kind of like Beverly better for them than campaign. I like campaign better for us, and I like Beverly better for them, so I actually think it made sense for both teams, to be honest.
Fair trade.
Yeah. I don't think there's any major shakeups in the West either, so I mean, I think PJ Washington, I guess, is the biggest name moved out West recently, so.
Yeah.
But yeah, that would be all. I mean, anything else? we want to talk about? I doubt
no.
it.
Yeah, no, I mean, at this point, it's just kind of, hey, we're kind of coasting along here. They got a like you said, very, very tough stretch coming up for the Sixers. I mean, if they just got to put together some wins and just stay afloat. I mean, that is the key, as long as Joel is out, which looks like, you know, the reports are at least a month, if not longer. So, I mean, they just got to try to get some quality wins here. Hopefully, yeah, I mean, hopefully Buddy Hield provide some efficient shooting and gets us some buckets out there. Tobias has to prove that he is a third best player on the team, which he has at times. But once again, you cannot rely on him. And Maxey's Tyrese Maxey. He's going to have to carry the load. But it is not looking great for the Sixers until Joel is back on the court. Hopefully they can acquire Lowry and some veterans to right the ship until we get there. So who knows?
Yeah. We got a slew of games coming up. So we got that Hawks game we mentioned earlier, then back-to-back versus the Wizards. I don't know if Hield's going to play for the Wizards. I'm sure he's not going to. I shouldn't say I'm sure. I'm like 99% sure he's not going to play against the Hawks tomorrow.
Yeah, I'd be shocked.
So those are two very winnable games, and we're not going to have Buddy Hield, and in addition to all the guys we just got rid of who are playing because our team's so depleted. So, like, those are going to be rough, and they shouldn't be that. Like, that's not a game you would have thought.
Correct.
Those were easy wins a couple weeks ago. Then we play the Cavs on Monday, so still kind of a short turnaround. And also the Cavs are on fire. The Heat, the Knicks, the Cavs, the Bucks, the Celtics, these are all in a row. So those, we might lose every single one of those games.
Yeah, they could realistically lose 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 in a row here, which would put us at a record of 30-28, which would probably bump you down to at least the probably 8 seed, or right around there at least, if not, low. I mean, just depending on, because right now they're 5. They're sitting at the 5 seed.
Yeah, so it's not going to be great. Like, let's not kid ourselves.
No, there's no way to sugarcoat it. I mean, at this point, they have to get some wins here and just kind of stay 500 throughout the season. They'll be okay. I mean, who knows? They got to get to, like, if they can get to, like, 50 wins, it'd be a shocker. I don't know.
Yeah, they're not getting 50. Anyway.
I don't think they're getting 50, but yeah. It's...
All right. Best of luck to Joel Embiid. I feel really bad for the guy, just in terms of career. I mean, not just everything, but you have to wonder if this fact, I don't mean to start a discussion point. You have to wonder if this is, like, I don't want to say career ending. He might never be the same, just because he's at an age where you're reaching that, and just so many injuries. Like, this was really, could be like the last straw in terms of wear and tear on his body. Maybe he might be thinking, this fucking sucks. Like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to say he's going to retire this year or pull an Andrew Luck or anything like that. But who knows? Maybe he's not going to play for as long as I maybe anticipated before the injury. It's something to consider.
Who knows? But hopefully we just need him healthy and back short term. And hopefully he comes back and at 90, 95%, 100%, who cares? Get him back ASAP. So,
yeah. Yep. We will likely talk to you, I guess, post All-Star break. Maxie's involved in a few festivities there.
Yes.
Maltz, where can they find you?
As always, Sixers Mania, you can slide up in our DMs and, rant us about all those terrible trades and a lot of Jaden Springer fans. They're coming out of the woodworks today. I'm just noting that. Of the woodworks.
Real quick, did you get more Jaden Springer hatred, like, this sucks, or Patrick Beverley? I would have thought it was Beverley.
I thought it was Beverley. It was Beverley when it first broke, and then Jaden Springer has apps. Because I think we didn't get anyone back in return, so we just gave him up for nothing. And, like, there's a lot of Sixers fans that are upset by that.
Well, they're also probably all 12 years old, and Jaden Springer's around that age, so they're probably his friends.
But they might be.
I don't mean to demean anyone. If you're upset about Jaden Springer, I think there's I understand, actually. I know I want to heat a rant about him, but, like, I get in principle, like, the idea of Jaden Springer.
You got to stand on business there. Come on.
Oh, I think he stinks. I think it's awful trade. I understand the logic on paper. Like, if you were to tell me, like, hey, would you trade a guy he's got one elite skill, or I guess very good. I don't know if I'd say elite. He's got one very good skill, and then he's just ass at one thing. But he's got glimpses every now and then. Definition, they're like heavy emphasis on every now and then. I understand, like, cost control, see what you can do with him. But he was never going to factor in the timeline of this team. I'm glad he's gone. Anyway.
Go Sixers.
You can find me at Will Coffer on all social media pages. Thank you for listening. Until next time.